Good morning. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is such a blessing to have every one of you here this morning to join with us as we celebrate and as we rejoice in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is risen, and that gives reason for living. That gives us hope in this troubled life. And I pray this morning that if Jesus is not your Lord and your Savior, that you will find grace and peace this morning. Grace meaning that love has come down and has covered this whole world. God sent His Son to die for our sins so that we may have hope in Him and we may have life in Him. Grace has been given to you, has covered this whole world. And peace, as the Jesus being the Prince of Peace. You imagine what a prince is. A prince is one who is decked with armor and has fought the battle. He has fought the sin and death and all the troubles that we are experiencing. He is our Prince of Peace. And He is the one who's laid down His life for you. He is the one that's laid down His life for this world, has covered us with His grace. And as the Prince of Peace is now saying, join with me. Come together. What has separated you from this good life, or to separate you from life with God, or to separate you from life eternal, has been given to you in peace, the Prince of Peace. So I am inviting you this morning to draw near to the Lord this morning, to draw near to that Prince of Peace. Grace and peace to you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We are the church because of the resurrected Lord. We have life and we have hope and we have victory to overcome this world because of the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are waiting. Oh, we are waiting and we are in great anticipation of His return to be called home with Him. But while we wait, we are in the world of trouble and we have doubts and we have fears and we have anxieties. But that grace covers us. And we continue to have to draw near to His peace. So I invite you to join with us, join with this body, join in with Christ, and draw near to your Prince of Peace this morning. This greeting of grace and peace is such a great greeting, a greeting that Paul used in many of his letters when he wrote to churches. And so let us get in the habit of saying during this season, grace and peace to you and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you this morning. Thank you for those that prepared the brunch this morning, and there'll be a little bit left over to continue for us to meet you. If you're visiting with us here this morning, if you're from this area, or even if you're not, if you haven't had a chance to fill out one of those information cards, if you want to fill out one of those and pass those to the center aisles, they'll be picked up later at the end of our service, so you can hand it to me at the back there as we'd like to know of your presence here. If there's any way we can let you know who we are, we can be a service to you in any way, help you come to know about Christ and who we are as a body, we'd love to do that. There is, I had to get this one announcement about the egg hunt for the kids afterward. If you are a parent of a three-year-old and younger, please make sure after our invitation to gather your children by the front door. So if you don't have children, there's going to be quite a scurrying around our doors. You're going to be blocked in from getting out. But get the three-year-olds and younger by the front door with your parents. The older kids are going to be down the center hallway there by the bathrooms and kitchen, and they'll be going that way and going. There'll be instructions later, but want to make sure those little ones are cared for by you if you have those three and younger. The older ones can go down the middle aisle. Yes? I don't know. Someone was waving at me. Hi. hello to everybody else in here. But those are the instructions. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, You are so good, and we thank You so much for gathering us here together as Your children. Thank You for Your grace and Your peace, and I pray that we will draw near to You, because as we are the church, God, we know that You are living and You are active in this world. But Lord, in this world, in this life, we have trouble, and I pray that each one of us will continue to draw near to You. God, may we reflect back now, as those early disciples did, as they were anticipating what was going to be next after Your death. that we consider what is next in our life as we anticipate your return. Thank you so much for this time together as we celebrate the risen Lord in Christ together. In Christ's name, amen. I'd like to invite you this morning to join together in John chapter 20, 19 through 29. John chapter 20, as we join together with the disciples, they are now waiting on a Sunday morning. They had experienced the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and now they are waiting in fear for the Lord's return. And now as followers of Christ today, as we are maybe waiting in fear and doubt and anxiety, anticipation, and perhaps in joy of the Lord's return, let us join together with the disciples in John's gospel. And I would take us back a little bit, kind of in reverse order, through John's gospel and just a edited version of what it is they had experienced. Many of them had yet to hear and know that the Lord had risen and appeared first, and that he had appeared first to the brokenhearted Mary. Mary was the one who had gone to the tomb early in the morning to find it empty. And Jesus calls her by name, saying, Mary. And once he said her name, she recognized his voice and calls out, Rabboni, meaning teacher. And she was the first evangelist who told a few of the disciples, I have seen the Lord. But yet those who were waiting had not yet seen the Lord. These were disciples who had not yet seen and touched the Lord. Peter was one of those first early disciples, and another who'd seen the empty tomb on the report of Mary. And Mary had told them, they had taken my Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. And they ran in and saw the strips of linen. They saw the folded burial cloth that had been around his head. But some of his other disciples had yet to see that. These were the disciples who had seen Jesus taken down from the cross, taken down by Joseph of Arimathea and by Nicodemus. They had seen his body wrapped with spices and the strips of linen. And they'd seen his body laid in the tomb near a garden near the place where he had been crucified. The disciples had seen his side pierced, and they had seen the blood and water flow, showing that he had died. He had avoided having his legs broken like the other criminals because he had already died. Prior to his death, they heard him say, I am thirsty. And an offering of wine vinegar was placed to his lips, and they had heard him say, it is finished. The disciples had seen Jesus nailed to the cross along the side of other criminals, one on each side. And they had read the sign above the cross which Pilate had put there that said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. They had seen Jesus flogged. They had seen him mocked as king. They had seen the crown of thorns that was placed upon his head. They had seen the purple robe that was put around his shoulders as a way to mock him. And they heard the jeers saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they witnessed the beatings as his face was struck by fists. They heard the crowds cry, Crucify him! And they saw a prisoner, Barabbas, set free. As they sat in an upper room before the crucifixion, they remembered Jesus saying, Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to the place where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. They remembered Jesus washing their feet as they sat in that room on Sunday morning, anticipating Jesus' return and having their face downcast and seeing their feet. They remember him saying as he washed their feet, Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And they remembered just a week before, Jesus riding in Jerusalem for Passover on a young donkey, and the crowd shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus had told them, In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. On this Resurrection Sunday, we join the disciples on that Sunday morning, waiting and anticipating what was to happen next. He had died, and they had spent a long Saturday waiting. the death and the burial and the mocking and the punishment was over. They had spent a long Saturday now waiting. The pain was ended. The death had been done. Now they were waiting. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for now? What are you waiting for now in your life? For the Lord. And so we catch up with the disciples in John chapter 20, starting of 19 through 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Their Prince of Peace appears and says, "Peace with you. Peace be with you." The greatest fear that anyone could have, anyone has ever had, is probably during that time. The greatest fear that we could have is probably the fear of death. The worst the world could do has been overcome by the Prince of Peace. Grace has come down, and the Prince of Peace now appears and says, "Peace be with you." Those who were in fear of death, saying, the disciples were sitting in their upper room in fear of the Jews, saying, "If this is what they did to our teacher, if this is what they did to our leader, what will they do to us?" And so the Prince of Peace says, "Peace be with you." What are you afraid of today? What are you fearful of that could happen in your life? Hear the risen Lord say, "Peace be with you." And it wasn't until they saw the face of Christ and they showed him, they showed them their hand, his hands and his side. His appearing then brought them to the place where they could fully surrender to the Lord. They surrendered to the will of God, because that's what peace is. He's the Prince of Peace, but we have to draw near to him. They had to accept that he was risen. They had to draw near to him to have that peace. Peace comes through full surrender. And once they saw the face of the Lord and they saw his pierced hands and his pierced side, their fear then turns to rejoicing. I say to you this morning, peace be with you. Let go of your fears. See the face of Christ on the brothers and sisters. Look around. See the face of Christ on the church that is the living church of the body and the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fully surrender. And when you fully surrender, you will find joy. Look at the person next to you and say to them, "Peace be with you." Peace be with you. Draw near to that peace. The scripture goes on in John chapter 20. 21 and 23. Again, Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, then they are not forgiven." The Prince of Peace says, "Peace be with you." Because in this world, we will have trouble. And as what he says now is kind of surprising. As now he's come, he's overcome. He says, "I'm here and peace be with you." But he understands that the place that they are living is a life of trouble, a life of conflict, a life of anxiety, a life of trouble. And so he says, "Peace be with you." Where in your life are you experiencing conflict? Where are you experiencing anxiety? What is separating you from a life of peace? Is it work? Is it family? Or perhaps is it even just yourself? Are you afraid of failing? Are you afraid of losing? Are you afraid of being a letdown? These disciples were living in that same kind of fear, wondering, had we given it all up for the wrong thing? What are we giving our lives for? We left everything and we followed the Lord. And their anticipation, wondering what is next for us. And their Prince of Peace shows up and shows them his hands and shows them his side and says, Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit live in you. Let the Prince of Peace live in you, and may you walk through those troubles. May you walk through those conflicts. May you walk through those fears to know that I am with you, but you must join together with me. The Holy Spirit comes to fulfill an early promise that the Lord gave his disciples, a promise that is still appealing to our ears today, of a life of tranquility, a life of harmony, a life of security. Jesus, when he gives them the Holy Spirit, he's fulfilling a promise he gave to them in John 14:26. He says, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives, but do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." He breathed on them the Holy Spirit. As ones who have given their lives to Christ, who have been baptized into Christ, having our sins forgiven, have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, those of you who have received the Holy Spirit, I implore you to lean into that Spirit, to rest into, to draw near. That is our peace, is the Holy Spirit, God's presence dwelling in us. He can't come any closer. He's come all the way from heaven into your very heart. So if you are experiencing trouble and conflict and anxiety and doubt, lean into the Spirit. Trust in that Spirit. Speak to God. Acknowledge God's presence in your life and allow him to be near you as now you go forward. He gives this to his disciples as he says, "Peace be to you." And he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And now what are we to do with that? Because we live in a life of trouble. We live in a life of people who are against us. We live in a life that is not going your way. We live in a life that is bringing us a lot of persecution and trouble, and people are pushing against us, and we're facing lots of opposition. And he says, "Forgive. Forgive. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, then they are not forgiven." There is power in surrender, and there is power in forgiveness. Peace comes from the power of forgiveness. He says, "I know, disciples, you will face trouble." And I think it's for us to hear today, as fellow disciples today in Christ, that we are in a time of trouble, a time of conflict. Forgive. There's power in forgiveness. This grace of love has covered us to forgive us our sins, for us now to draw near to that peace, to be embodied that peace, and to be now peacemakers. And how do you make peace? By fighting? By resisting? No, by actively being involved in forgiving and being strong in that victory of Christ, putting on that armor of Christ and stepping into those conflicts, not running away, but stepping into that with our Prince of Peace, with the Holy Spirit, and forgiving. The way of peace is showing love and kindness and forgiveness. To forgive those who have hurt us. To forgive those who are against us, and to perhaps even forgive ourselves. I say to you, peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. See the face of Christ on all others. See the face of Christ even on your enemies. And see the face of Christ in yourself. So look at the person next to you and say, "Peace be with you." And now say to them, "You are forgiven." And finally, in this passage, John 20:24-29. "Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it.' A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came among them and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And then he said, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told them, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." The Prince of Peace says to those who then are still doubting, who have yet to see, who have yet to know, he says, "Peace be with you." Do you believe in the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you believe Jesus is risen? If you believe that, you are more blessed than those who have seen the risen Lord. It says, "Blessed are those who have not seen me, but yet have believed." I want you to have courage. I want you to have strength. I want you to be built up by your faith. We believe because of the witness of the Scriptures. We believe because of the testimony of those who have gone before us, who have embodied that truth, who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and have continued to live out the life of following the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace has been given. Will you draw near to the Prince of Peace? The disciples who saw him were blessed enough and lucky enough to actually see the scars and see the side. Many of them saw and believed, but Thomas was one who was not with them. Here now they are saying, "We've seen the risen Lord. We've seen the scars." And Thomas says, unless I see." What is your unless? What is keeping you from living a life with Christ? What is keeping you from drawing near to that peace, to that Prince of Peace? Grace has been given. It's been given for you. You might say, "Well, I didn't want it. I didn't want that. I never asked for that." Well, you don't get a choice. Grace has been given. All sin has been defeated. Death has been conquered. So what will you do with that? What is your unless? "Well, Lord, and if you do this, well, if you do this, God," do you ever say that? You ever find yourself, "Well, if just this would happen"? Sin is over. Death has been defeated. See the hands of Christ on your brother and sister. We are the hands of Christ. We are the feet of Christ. We are the body of Christ. What do you need to see to believe? Death has been defeated. Sins are forgiven. Accept the grace and peace and receive the Holy Spirit. Look around at the church. Hold up your hands, church. See the hands. See the side. See the lives. Peace be with you. Church, say with me, "Peace be with you." And if you believe, say, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. Join Jesus in victory over death. Live a life of peace. There's power in surrender and giving up our fears and anxieties. You don't have to hold those. You don't have to hold on to those alone. You don't have to walk this path alone. There's power in forgiveness. There's power to accept the gift of forgiveness that has been given. There's power in us being able to now be the ones to forgive and to be the ones to give that blessing to provide peace. And there is power in belief. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. There is power in the blood. There is power in confession. There is power to say, "My Lord and my God." And there is power in baptism. The water is ready. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he's waiting. Grace has been given, and now the Prince of Peace is inviting you to join him. To cover that distance. He's covered it all. He's conquered sin. He's conquered death in your life. What will you do with that gift? Through faith in Christ Jesus, be baptized into Christ. Clothe yourself with Christ. Be buried with Christ in baptism into death. And just as he was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, you too may live a new life. Doesn't a new life sound real good today? Don't we all have a new life? You can have a new life today to accept that grace and draw near to that peace. Let the grace of God cover you this morning. Join together in a life of peace with Jesus, our Savior, and our risen King. Please come. Please share. Please rejoice. And may the peace of God be with you as we stand and sing.